What's up, everybody? I'm Jesse from Plant to Spear, and thank you for tuning in to another episode. This is going to be our bowl preview episode for the Cheez-It Bowl, which is going to be number 13 Florida State at 9-3, taking on 6-6 Oklahoma from the Big 12. Now, I understand that a lot of people were kind of disappointed with this matchup at first, being that it's a 6-6 Big 12 team. But at the same time, I think it's a fun matchup because you get two storied brands here that have a little history together. You know, they both have multiple national championships. They've had both have had multiple Heisman winners. They've met in the national championship. And it's a fun matchup between the two big brands versus, you know, maybe if Florida State had been matched up against a 8 or 9 win, say group of 5 team or something like that. So I still think it's going to be a good game, and I still think it's going to be something that, you know, we can all enjoy. So it is right around the corner, Thursday, December 29th at 5:30 p.m. inside Camping World Stadium in Orlando, which coincidentally is also where Florida State's going to start next season against LSU. So kind of like, you know, maybe get familiar with their surroundings there. But then again, LSU is also playing there in the Citrus Bowl in January, so maybe no advantage there. But anyway, so talking about this game, Florida State does come in currently at a 9.5-point favorite, which with some of the opt-outs and a few things that we're going to talk about, maybe I would have thought that would have been a bigger spread. So I do think it does speak to what, you know, the strength of the Big 12 this year. And that's not always been the case, but this was a strong year for them. They have had a lot of pretty good teams to upper-tier teams, you know, maybe not anyone really on an elite level. But as a conference, they had a really good year. I mean, even Kansas had a good year. So I do think it does speak to that a little bit, you know, kind of the way Oklahoma did struggle. It was against good competition. But so Florida State comes into this, like we talked about, you know, to me, they're going to be, this is a game they should win. And on paper, we're going to talk about that too, but this is a game that they should win. And I do think it's important for Florida State because when you look at what they're trying to accomplish, the 10th win really is a big deal. And it's a big deal to this program, which it's also a big deal to this team, which is why you've seen everyone pretty much elect to play in the bowl game. Nobody's opting out. And I think it's kind of like them wanting to finish the mission that they started. You know, I still feel like they know that they probably should have, you know, been able to play for a little bit more of the season, had some things that went their way, but it is what it is, and they still want to finish strong. So I think that is good to see as well. But it's, for me, this game, I look at it kind of like, for Florida State anyway, you've got a lot of momentum going into 2023. You've got a lot of players that are coming back. You have, you know, they just signed the number one defensive tackle in the portal. They're now the number one the highest ranked transfer recruiting class in the country. And they have a lot of momentum going into 2023. For me, I think this game is more of a can't lose than a must win for Florida State, if that makes sense. I think that if you win this game, people are going to say, well, you were expected to win. And that's fine because really, I mean, you're almost a 10-point favorite. That is the case. So I think FSU, with a win, gets that 10th win. They carry the momentum in the next season, and that's great. But if you lose this game, I think it's going to be a bad look at the end of the season just because you're almost at full strength. They have some key opt-outs. You're 9-3, they're 6-6, and you get the picture. But so I do think this is more of a game that Florida State needs to win that they can't really afford to lose because it would look bad. And you just want that momentum to carry on with recruiting and everything like that. So with that being said, we're going to talk a little bit more about the game now. Looking at some of the history between the two teams, Oklahoma does lead the series all time 6-1. So not really went that great in Florida State's favor there. And the last meeting was in 2011. As most of us remember, Oklahoma did win that game in Tallahassee 23-13. You can see the picture I put up here. That's actually a picture I took way back when. I went to the Wayback Machine to find that one. And that was one of the most exciting, you know, atmospheres in Doak Campbell history. It was one of the most high attended games. I think it's top 2 or 3 in attendance, around 84,392. And you can tell, I mean, just how things have changed since then, because where I took this picture from is actually the Champions Club now. So that section doesn't even exist anymore. But it was fun, man. I mean, game day was there. Me and a friend of mine, we drove over there. We got in line for game day at midnight, waited like 8 hours. You know, and it was just an awesome atmosphere because these are two big brands, like I talked about, and it's two fan bases that you know, they're proud of the program. And so I think that's another thing that's going to be big in this game. When you talk about the matchup, is you also have a fan base in Oklahoma that's going to travel. Now, I don't know how 6-6 and the game being in Orlando is going to affect that, but I suspect they're going to have a pretty good showing. You also have Florida State, who this game is right in their backyard. And we already know ticket demand was high, and there should be a pretty good crowd on hand. You also have Renegade and Osceola are going to be there. The Marching Chiefs are going to be there. So it's going to be a really fun atmosphere. And Florida State is 3-0 in the Cheez-It Bowl. Now, it's not always been called the Cheez-It Bowl. It's been different names throughout the years. But they do have a 3-0 record in this game. So that is a little bit of something to hang your hat on when you see that series record that's looking a little bit not so much in your favor. But hopefully Florida State can kind of even things up this year a little bit. Now, you also have some other ties in this game that make it interesting. Obviously, Florida State has history with Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables. We finally thought we had got rid of him. And, you know, year one of him not being at Clemson, we get to play him in a bowl. But things might go differently this time because he doesn't have a room full of NFL players on that defense. And that's, you know, they really struggled this year on that side of the ball, which is kind of surprising. But, you know, he's a first-year coach. You got to give him time, to be fair. You got to give him time to build up his roster and things like that. And so I do like what Florida State should be able to do in this game against Oklahoma. And to start off, I think before we get into anything, before you really talk about this game, there is one thing that stands out that you just really have to qualify everything with. You know, when you look at the two teams, you have the offenses who are, and we're going to talk about all this in just a second, but the two offenses are almost lockstep with how their statistical rankings are and things like that. Now, the defense is a big edge towards Florida State, but the one real edge that has developed since the end of the season is the opt-out situation. Now, we know as Florida State fans that minus, I think, like one, maybe two players that have hit the portal that are no longer on the roster, almost everybody has agreed to play in this game for Florida State. Even, you know, a player like Amari Gaynor, who is in the portal looking for a new home, he has even said that he's going to, you know, he's been in practice, he's been playing, and he wants to help his teammates get that 10th win because it is important to them. You know, and that's just another thing that speaks to the culture that Mike Norvell is building at Florida State. But it's not really been the same for Oklahoma. They have not been as fortunate. They've had some pretty big opt-outs that have announced so far for the bowl game. So we're going to have to talk about those first because everything you talk about the rest of the preview has to be kind of with that in mind because it is going to make a big difference in this game. So we're going to talk about that real quick. So for this one, Oklahoma is going to be without their leading rusher, Eric Gray. He has accounted for over 50% of their rushing production this season with 1,372 yards, 6.5 yards per carry, 11 touchdowns, and a PFF grade of 90.6. I mean, those are really that's really good numbers. Like, this is a huge loss for them. And when you couple that with some of the other losses, you know, this was their offense is their strength by far. And you'll see that when we get into the stat rankings. So to be without your leading rusher, that's going to hurt. And you've got some key offensive line departures that we're going to talk about too, but this is going to hurt them. Now they're going to be able to turn to a couple of guys that have some experience, but it's not anywhere near what Eric Gray has done. So they're more than likely going to turn to running backs, Javonte Barnes and Marcus Major. Javonte Barnes has 89 carries on the season for 407 yards, averaging 4.6 yards a carry, four touchdowns with a PFF grade of 69.9. Running back Marcus Major, he has 56 carries on the season, 227 yards, 4.1 yards per carry, four touchdowns with a PFF grade of 69.2. So these guys aren't bad players, but you're going from a guy who's averaging 6.5 yards a carry to guys that are under 5 yards a carry and combined still have less touchdowns than he does. So this is going to be hard to replace. And I think that's going to give Florida State an edge in this game because now you can kind of limit what they're able to do on the ground. Now, another player that's going to be out for them is Theo Weiss, who is a wide receiver for them. Now, this guy, he's only got 19 receptions on the year, but 378 yards, which he has almost 20 yards. He's averaging almost 20 yards per catch, which is almost unreal, and four touchdowns. So I'm not mad at all about them being without a guy who's averaging almost 20 yards a catch. But you know, it's going to be another big loss for them. It's going to limit some of the things they can do. Now, they still do have some playmakers at the wide receiver position, which we're going to get into. But they're also going to be without, and this may be probably the most limiting loss of all because it's going to hurt you in more than one way. They're going to be without both starting offensive tackles who are both all Big 12 players. And they got a majority of the experience on that offensive line. So when you look at the left tackle, Anton Harrison, he's first team Big 12 player. He played 803 out of 922 snaps at left tackle for them. He has a PFF grade of 72.6. He's going to be replaced by a freshman in Jacob Sexton. And he only has 68 snaps of experience on this so far this season with a PFF grade of 58.9. So that is a big step down in experience and talent level. And this is something that Florida State can exploit, especially when you know you have a guy like Jared Verse who is playing in the bowl game. So this could be a game changer for Florida State. And when you look at the other side, their right tackle who's opting out, he is second team all Big 12. He has played 576 of 922 snaps. He has a PFF grade of 76.6. He's going to be replaced by a redshirt sophomore who does have some more experience at 311 snaps, but he has a PFF grade of 67.2, which isn't bad. But at the same time, like we said, you're losing a lot of experience. You're losing a lot of talent. I mean, you have two all Big 12 conference players that aren't going to be there. And so Florida State should be able to get some pressure on the quarterback, and that's going to make a difference. And we're going to talk about that when we get into the offense a little bit more. But these are some of the big losses that's really going to have an impact on this game. Now, for the defense, it's not been quite as bad, but they did lose one impact player in defensive lineman Jalen Redmond. He has accounted for 28 pressures and 4 sacks this year, and he's also been pretty good in run defense as well. Now, they are going to lose a couple guys as far as in the secondary, but they're just depth players. So they're, maybe in the fourth quarter or things like that, you may see a little difference, but those guys aren't starters. So it's probably not going to be quite as bad for them, but those are really big losses. And I think when you look at, to me, this was a game that Florida State should have won on paper even before those. But when you factor those in, that's just a lot to overcome. You know what I mean? Like that would be hard for any team to overcome. Both of your starting offensive tackles, your leading rusher, you know, I believe he's like their second or third best wide receiver, and a impact defensive lineman. So to me, that gives a big edge to Florida State here. And so I do like what they're able to do. I thought maybe people were overplaying this game with thinking it's just Florida State's going to walk in and blow them out, because they did play some tough teams. They did play in a tough conference this year and had a lot of close games. But just given some of the, when you see the difference in the defenses, which we're going to talk about just 1 second, the opt-outs are going to be hard to overcome for Oklahoma. So I do think that gives a huge advantage to Florida State, who is already playing closer to home, who is already at full strength. You know, it's just that's going to have a big impact on the game. There's no other way around it. I mean, it's an advantage for us, so I'm not mad about it at all. I mean, to me, like that 10th win is crucial for Florida State to get their first, you know, have their first 10-win season since 2016 in, you know, the first bowl they played in a few years. And don't let the name fool you. Like, I understand the name Cheez-It Bowl. It no pun intended here. It almost makes the bowl sound cheesy. But it's not. Like, this is a big bowl. This is the second highest tiered bowl in the ACC. The payout is a little over $6 million. So this is a big bowl. Now, this is not the Shreveport against Southern Miss or something like that. So it's nice to be back in a bowl that, you know, it's not a playoff game. I get that. It's not a New Year's Six bowl, but one of the bigger bowls that is more important matched up against another Power Five opponent. So I do like that Florida State, you know, I really just want them to get that win. You know what I mean? Like, I really want them to be able to get that 10th win and carry that momentum into the offseason, because I know 2023 is really, it just has the potential to be a special year. And I think this is just a way to put the feather in your cap at the end of 2022 and roll all that momentum into 2023. So those are just some of the big things there. Now, we're going to get into some head-to-head stats here and look at how both teams stack up. So, like we talked about, Oklahoma is 6-6. They're 3-6 in Big 12 play. Florida State comes in at number 13 in the country, 9-3, 5-3 in ACC play. Their record versus the spread, Oklahoma is 4-8. Like we said, they've had a lot of close games. And Florida State is 8-4 against the spread, that is. So strength of schedule, this is one of the few teams on Florida State's schedule that has a tougher strength of schedule than Florida State. Oklahoma comes in at 13th. Florida State comes in at 28th. Now, I do believe Florida State's strength of schedule did slip late with teams like Wake Forest and NC State kind of falling off. Syracuse was another one too. So I do think that kind of took, you know, gave their strength of schedule a little hit there towards the end. Against Power Five competition, Florida State is 8-3. Oklahoma is 4-6. So not doing that good against the better teams on their schedule. The win probability per ESPN gives Florida State an edge here at 65.2%. And the scoring margin versus Power 5 teams, Florida State is plus 176 points, whereas Oklahoma is at a 22-point deficit. So you can tell they've had a lot of close games. I know that Texas game was kind of really bad for them, but Florida State, they just blew a lot of teams out this year. So that was nice to see. Now, getting into some of the more advanced rankings here, you have FEI and S&P Plus. And I do find these interesting because these are pace of play, opponent adjusted, and things like that, like on a neutral field. And the FEI rankings, they seem in line. Florida State comes in at 11th and Oklahoma at 29th. But the S&P Plus rankings, I'm not sure what kind of science goes into this, but they actually have Oklahoma ranked at 20th and Florida State ranked at 26th. So, again, maybe that has a lot to do with who Oklahoma has had to play this year and, you know, how some of the games have been close. So, that, like I said, I'm not sure 100% of the science that goes into that, but it is interesting. And I think it does show that there is the potential that this game could be a little closer than some people think. Now, like I talked about earlier, when you look at the offenses here, they are in lockstep almost. Total offense for Florida State is at 12th. Oklahoma is at 18th. Passing offense for Florida State is at 40th. Oklahoma 42nd. Your rushing offense is at 12th for Florida State and 13th for Oklahoma. Now, again, keep in mind, that's with Eric Gray and both offensive tackles. So that's obviously going to take a hit in this game. Now, defense is where you're going to find the difference. Total defense for Florida State is 13th and 120th for Oklahoma, which is hard to imagine with one of the better DCs in college football at head coach. You know, I mean, we talked about how they still got to get some talent, but they still have some pretty good players on that side of the ball. Now, when you look at the pass defense, Florida State is currently second in the country and Oklahoma is 108th. Now, the other thing is the rush defense for Florida State, which has been kind of their weak point this year, they come in at 62nd. Now, we know a lot of that had to do with Fabian Lovett being out, who is available for this game. But knowing that that's what took the biggest hit for Oklahoma, that's something else that I like that's an edge for Florida State in this game. The one thing they kind of struggle to stop is the one thing that took the biggest hit from opt-outs by Oklahoma. Now, when you look at rush defense for Oklahoma, it's 107th in the country. We all know that sets up really well for Florida State, who has run for 200-plus yards in the last 7 games. So, again, I do like some of the matchups here that you're getting for Florida State and the way this game plays out. So, continuing with the stats real quick here, Florida State's averaging 36.2 points per game. Oklahoma is at 32.9 points per game allowed. Florida State is down at 19.7, and Oklahoma's allowing almost 30 points a game at 29.6 points. Yards per play and yards per play allowed, Florida State gets an edge there, doing better in both categories. Explosive plays is another thing that continues the trend where we've seen both offenses are pretty good, but the defense is another story. Now, these are plays of 20-plus yards. Florida State has 88 on the year, which is second in the country, and the team above them has 2 extra games, so they would even lead the country had that not be the case. But Oklahoma also has a fair amount of 20-plus yard plays with 67. That comes in at 35th in the country. Now, as far as explosive plays allowed by the defense, Florida State's only given up 35 on the year, which is 5th in the country. So they've been really good at limiting explosive plays. Now, it's not quite been the same story for Oklahoma. They've given up 61 plays of 20-plus yards a season, which is 94th in the country. So again, when you have you get excited about Florida State's rushing offense matching up against their rushing defense, you also get excited when you see Florida State is one of the best teams in the country at creating explosive plays, and Oklahoma is one of the worst teams in the country at limiting explosive plays. So I do think, again, there's another little matchup, another little edge for Florida State that I like in this game. So red zone offense, Florida State scoring on average around 83.6% of the time. Now, we do know kicking did affect that with some struggles in the field goal department earlier this year. But Fitzgerald seemed to get his, you know, kind of get his rhythm back, which is nice. And if he gets a chance to kick in this game, you'd like to see him end on a high note. Oklahoma's also been good at the red zone. They've scored 84.4% of the time. Now, you see there's not a whole lot of difference in the two. Red zone defense, Florida State comes in at 63rd. Oklahoma 82nd. This was the same with the red zone offense. There wasn't a whole lot of difference between the two. I think it was like maybe less than 1% difference. But you see that in the pressures and sacks department, Florida State's given up a pretty good amount of pressures here at 141, but they've only given up 18 sacks. And we know a lot of that has to do with Jordan Travis and his ability. When you look at Oklahoma, they've not given up a whole lot of pressures at only 92, but they've given up 25 sacks. So if you get in the backfield, you have a higher percentage of getting a sack against Oklahoma. Now, when you look at the pressures and sacks they've been able to create as a defense, Florida State's at 213 pressures on the season with 34 sacks, which is a pretty good number there. And Oklahoma's not quite been the same story. They have 218 pressures, which is a good number, but they're struggling to get the quarterback on the ground with only 26 sacks. And keep in mind, Jalen Redmond had 4 of those. So you're going to lose a pretty good portion of your sacks there not playing in this game. Turnover margin does go to Oklahoma. They are +6 on the season, whereas Florida State is +2. And Oklahoma does have a lot of interceptions. They are top 10 in the country in interceptions. So Florida State's going to have to secure the ball. They're going to have to take care of it because you don't want to make mistakes that are going to let Oklahoma kind of hang around in a game that you feel like you should win. Now, when we talk about being tested and we talk about how Oklahoma has a good offense and a good defense, the Big 12, as we know, is known primarily for high-flying, high-powered offenses and not really playing a whole lot of defense. And one thing that Florida State, and you're going to see a perfect example of this in what we're about to talk about. And one thing that Florida State brings to the table, which a lot of teams don't have to face, is strength on both sides of the ball. A lot of teams we see have a really good offense and not that great of a defense, or vice versa, like Florida and things like that, where they have a really good offense and a terrible defense. Well, Florida State is almost, you know, equally good on both sides of the ball. Now, when we talk about who they've had to face this season for both teams, as far as Oklahoma's defense, so far, when you look at how many top 50 offenses they've had to face this season, Oklahoma has had a tough slate. Now, they've had to face 7 top 50 offenses so far this season. Again, like we said, the Big 12 is known for offensive play. So that defense has been tested. I mean, they have been through it. And that could partially, you know, partially contribute to why their defensive numbers look so bad. But again, you still have to be able to stop the better competition. Now, Florida State's defense has only had to face 3 top 50 offenses, so they haven't been tested as much. Now, we all know that Florida State's defense doesn't appear to be elite, but they play really fast, they play really physical, and they play really aggressive, and they are a good defense. They're, you know, top 15 in the country in total defense. So, you know, they're going to be tested in this game because this is going to be one of the better offenses that they're going to face. But, you know, when you talk about like Dillon Gabriel and the Oklahoma offense, he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks that you're going to face. And we're going to talk about him in a second. But when you flip over to the other side for the top 50 defenses faced, now this is, again, plays to the narrative of the Big 12, where you don't tend to get a lot of defense. They've only faced 2 top 50 defenses this entire season. And one of those was UTEP, not even a Big 12 team. And the reason I say that is because I feel like you should always kind of qualify it with it not being a Power 5 team. Florida State, on the other hand, is kind of the opposite story as how many offenses they faced with this, with the top 50 defenses. They have faced 6 top 50 defenses this year. So their offense has faced some tough competition. Now, one of those was Louisiana, so we'll couch that too. But Florida State's offense has been tested, kind of like the Oklahoma defense. And that is something that I think is important to know how you perform against the competition. As far as Oklahoma's offense, they have only faced 1 defense that was tougher, statistically ranked higher anyway, than Florida State's. And that was Iowa State, who I believe is like 6 or 8 in total defense. And Iowa State was able to hold them to 27 points. Now, they did win the game, but Iowa State doesn't have a great offense either. But they were able to hold them to 27 points at full strength with both of those offensive tackles, with that leading rusher, with that other receiver. So to me, I like Florida State to be able to potentially hold Oklahoma to 20 points or less. That's kind of what I'm looking for. And to me, I feel like that should be enough to win the game. If you can hold them to 20 points, then I do think that you got a really good chance in this game. Now, when we talk about Oklahoma's offense, they still have some playmakers that you're going to have to look out for. And the one I want to bring to your attention is Marvin Mims Jr., number 17. He's 5'11", 184 pounds. He has 52 receptions on the year for 1,006 yards. So they have a 1,000-yard receiver. And we all know that's not an easy feat. So he also has 6 touchdowns. He's had 4 100-yard games, and he has over 2,300 career receiving yards. So this is a guy Florida State's going to have to really circle on the game plan and be ready for, because he can, you know, he can do some damage as a 1,000-yard receiver. And the good thing is, with not having the other receiver, with Theo Weiss being out, you know, you can kind of shade more resources towards that one dominant threat. Now, another guy that you got to watch out for is their tight end, number 9. He's 6'4", 239 pounds. So not the biggest tight end like we've seen before, but he has 35 receptions for 456 yards on the season and 7 touchdowns. So he is a productive player. And that's the thing, is they still have some weapons. So I don't think, just because of the opt-outs, like, they're not going to come in here and lay down. They're not going to come in here and let Florida State just take their lunch money, you know, like it's nothing. I think they're still going to, you know, they're going to want to win this game, and Florida State's going to have to come to play. You can't just kind of roll the helmet out there and win, because they still have some guys. But, you know, those are still going to be a big factor, because they're going to have to protect Dylan Gabriel to even be able to get the ball to Mims. So another thing, while we're talking about Dylan Gabriel, who, again, is a solid college quarterback. We know he transferred in from UCF. This, you know, is going to be back in Orlando for one of the first times, I'm sure, since his transfer out. And so we're going to take a look at the passer profile we have on Dylan Gabriel now. So he's currently sitting at a 63% completion percentage and 2,925 yards. Now, if he, you know, outs barring injury or anything crazy like that, we assume he's going to throw for at least 75 yards in this game. If he does, that will put him over 3,000 yards for 3 out of his 4 seasons in college. So there's really no denying this guy. He is a good quarterback. He's a good college quarterback. So as long as he's in the game for them, you got to watch out. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, because the one game that he did not play was the Texas game, and that's the game they lost 49-0. So without him, this offense falls off a cliff. But with him, he's able to keep them in a lot of games. He has 24 touchdowns on the season with only 6 interceptions, so that's a good ratio there. Big-time throw rate comes in at 5.2%, turnover-worthy play rate at 1%, adjusted completion percentage, which accounts for drops and throwaways, comes in at 72.6%. So these are all good numbers. And QBR, 75.2. PFF grade is 85.6. Again, both good numbers there. Rushing attempts is 75 on the season for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns. So he is mobile enough to hurt you on the ground with his legs if you lose containment on him. But one thing I want to talk about when we look at Gabriel, and this is where this is going to be an advantage. This is actually one of my keys to victory, which we're going to cover in just a few seconds here coming up. But one of the things that's going to be big in this game is getting pressure on Dylan Gabriel. And that's because he has struggled under pressure this season, and he hasn't had to face it very often. So it would be kind of new to him. You know, when you have two big all conference, all, you know, Big 12 offensive tackles, you don't have to worry about pressure a whole lot. And so that's something he's not really had to deal with. So when you look at his pressured stats, he is kept clean 79.1% of the time. His adjusted completion percentage when kept clean is 76.3%, which is good. He has 2,752 yards when kept clean, no pressure in the pocket, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a PFF grade of 91 on the nose. So exceptional numbers whenever he has a clean pocket. But when he's pressured, it's only been right under 21% of his dropbacks at 20.9%. And now his adjusted completion percentage is 48.9%. Non-adjusted is down at 34.5%. 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions with a PFF grade of 43.3. So you can see when he's under pressure, and this is typical for a lot of quarterbacks, but his production falls off a cliff. And so this is something that I think will be a huge opportunity for Florida State. Now, the trick is he's actually been pretty good against the blitz. His production doesn't really fall off whether he's blitzed or not. So if you can get pressure on him without devoting a whole lot of resources, you can have success with throwing him off his game a little bit. But that's where I look at a guy like Jared Verse to have a really big game against a replacement offensive tackle. I mean, if you can get him lined up over that freshman and you can get pressure on Gabriel, you're going to limit what they're going to be able to do through the air. you already know you're going to be able to limit what they're going to be able to do on the ground from being out so many players. Now, when we talk about the defense real fast, they come into this with it's just been a struggling year. I mean, they've just had a hard year. They're near the bottom in every statistical category on defense. Even third down defense is 91st in the country. You know, explosive plays like we talked about was 94th. They're below 100 in the three major categories: passing, rushing, and total defense. So they've also had a little bit of trouble getting to the quarterback. So again, it's going to be probably a tough outing for this offense, because we know Florida State is the type of offense where if they want to load the box and try and stop the run, Florida State is, you know, Jordan Travis is having a phenomenal year and he has all of his receivers in this game. So you kind of have to pick your poison here on which one you want to try and stop. And it's exciting to know that going into any game with Florida State that they can really kind of hit you either way. So I'm excited to see that too. Now, they still have some players on defense. They have two 100 plus tackling linebackers, which, you know, what does that say about your defensive line if both of your linebackers are over 100 tackles? That means you're getting through the line of scrimmage a lot. So I do like what Florida State should be able to do in the line of scrimmage here. We know the offensive line's been playing good this year. And again, they're already out a defensive lineman. Now, they do have some defensive linemen that aren't bad. Ethan Downs and Reggie Grimes are the two names to watch here. They have combined for 53 pressures and 10 sacks. So it won't just, you know, it's not going to be like playing an FCS team or something like that, or, you know, or whatever. They're going to have to bring their lunch, but it's going to be something that I feel like Florida State can control the line of scrimmage in this game. And the last thing I want to talk about here before we get to the keys to victory is just some, when I do these previews, I always try and look for areas where I feel like there's something that Florida State can exploit to their advantage. And there is something on special teams that I noticed when I started looking at the stats, and I'm sure this is something that special teams coordinator John Papusch has noticed as well. So when it comes to kick return offense, Florida State is 6th in the country. And on kick return defense, Oklahoma is 127th. Excuse me. So there's a big mismatch there from 6th to 127th. So you could see some opportunities there where Florida State might could make something happen on special teams. Now, the other side, punt return, is pretty much a wash across the board. It's a pretty even on all sides. But kicking, like we talked about with Florida State, they are 10 of 17 on the season, which is only 59%. Now, Oklahoma's not really been a whole lot better. They're 11 of 16, which is 69%. I believe the kicker was 0 of 1 from 50 plus, but he was 6 of 7 from 40 to 49. So he does have some range. Now, real quick, we'll just talk through their schedule, just game by game real fast. So they did beat UTEP to open the season 45 to 13. Then they beat Kent State 33 to 3. They won at Nebraska 49 to 14. I believe that was before they fired Matt Rhule, and it was still kind of a disaster there. Not Matt Rhule. He's their new coach. But anyway, so K-State, they lost to Kansas State 41 to 34. Now, we know Kansas State is a good team. They just beat TCU, who's a playoff team. I don't really believe in bad loss or good losses, should I say, but I guess if you had to qualify it as that, that's kind of a good loss, 41-34 to Kansas State on, you know. But then you look at the next week, speaking of TCU, they got beat pretty bad by TCU, 55 to 24. And then the next game we know was the Texas game. They lost 49 to nothing. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel didn't play in that game, and that really does hurt their offense, but it's only so much of an excuse, because we also know that Florida State played Louisville without Jordan Travis for a majority of that game, as well as a bunch of other starters, and they still managed to win. So it's football. You know, you got to overcome that. They were able to beat Kansas, which, surprising as it sounds, that was a good win for them. Now, I don't know if that was when Kansas's quarterback was out with an injury or not, but it was 52 to 42. They won that game. So it was still pretty close. But Kansas was actually a good team this year. They did beat Iowa State 27 to 13. They lost to Baylor 38-35, lost to West Virginia 23 to 20. They did beat Oklahoma State in their rivalry game, which is a good win for them, 28 to 13. And then they finished the regular season with a loss at Texas Tech, 51-48 in overtime. So when I look at all in all, and I take everything into account, I think of the offense, Florida State and Oklahoma are basically dead even until you get to the opt-outs. And then you just have to give the edge to Florida State on the offense. I think that the defense is unquestionably an advantage for Florida State. It's not even close. And special teams may be a slight advantage to Florida State as well. You're also playing closer to home. And I think you're the hotter team. You're coming off, you know, you're on a 5-game win streak and they're on a 1-game losing streak. So I think all that really plays in. Now, one thing we're going to get to my keys real quick that I think is going to have some effects on this game. So let's look at how I feel Florida State can really handle their business in this game and get to a win. And Florida State has the potential to run away with this one if they show up to play and they play some of their best football. But looking at the keys to victory, first off, I have pressure the quarterback, which we already talked about in this one. So Gabriel has not done well when he's been pressured. And with both starting tackles out and Jared Verse playing, you know, and Patrick Payton, you have a chance here to really make a splash in this game. And I mean, I'm going to hate to see him have a huge game because I feel like that's only going to elevate his draft stock and help him choose to go to the NFL. You know, and I really want Verse to come back for another year because I know 2023 could be special, especially if you have him on the field with you. But, you know, I feel like he's going to have a big game here for Florida State. And I'm so glad that he's playing in the bowl because this is an opportunity for him. The next key I have is to get the ground game going, which obviously, like we talked about, Florida State is at 7 consecutive games with over 200 yards rushing, and Oklahoma has 107th ranked rush defense. So there's a huge opportunity for them to have a great day on the ground. That also keeps Oklahoma's offense off the field, which is their strength. So you get a win-win, kind of a two-sided win there for Florida State. And the last thing, the key that I have, is to limit mistakes, because we know that in every loss so far this season, Florida State is pretty much been in large part due to their own mistakes, costly penalties, turnovers, things like that. So if they can limit the mistakes, now I also put in here that it is expected when you haven't played in a month to have some rust. And rust, you know, no pun intended again here, but rust can lead to bust. So I did kind of give a few more points on my prediction, score prediction, because I feel like until these teams settle in, it's been a month and you got some opt-outs, you got some new faces, especially for Oklahoma that are playing. I feel like that can lead to some mistakes. And as long as Florida State, to me, can play the cleaner game and not let Oklahoma hang around in a game where Florida State can take control, should take control on paper, that I feel like they can get this win. You just can't turn the ball over and have costly mistakes and allow Oklahoma to hang around, because I do feel like Florida State should be able to win this game. So those are my keys to winning here. And when I take all that into account, you know, like I said, you're going to have some new faces for Oklahoma that could lead to some mistakes. They haven't played in a month. Neither team has played in a month, but I feel like you're going to have some rust there. So teams are going to have to settle in. And for that reason, I did up my point total a little bit, just because you never know how bowl games are going to go. Sometimes it's just kind of crazy, some of the things you see in a bowl game. But I do feel like both teams are going to be motivated here. I do feel like both teams are going to come to play. And I do feel like it's going to be a fun game. But at the end of the day, I think the opt-outs are going to be too much to overcome for Oklahoma. Now, I was already going to pick Florida State to win this game just because, again, I feel like Florida State is the better team currently. They are on a hotter streak. They are playing closer to home. And I do like all those things. I think this game means a lot to Florida State, and I think it means a lot to this team. And, you know, every game we've seen them come out, they play hard and they don't play down to the competition. You know, regardless of who they played so far this season, they have not played down. Like when they play a team that's not been as good as them, they crush them into the dirt. And I definitely think they have an opportunity to do that here. The only thing, like I said, the only thing that I have to say watch out for is you have a good quarterback. You have one of the better quarterbacks you're going to face who does have a 1,000-yard receiver on the field. So there is some opportunity for Oklahoma to score some points there. I still think Florida State's just going to get it done. I think they're going to have a big day on the ground, and I think they're going to get the win here to get that 10th win of the season. So I'm going to go Florida State over Oklahoma 45-20, and I think the Noles get that 10th win of the season. They get the bowl win, and they carry all that momentum into 2023 that's going to set up for another big season. I think you're going to, you know, I don't know that it's going to play a whole lot of dividends in recruiting because the class that you got is already pretty much here, but you know, like we talked about, Florida State has got the number one transfer class. They got a top five class in 2024. So if you just come out here, it's just another feather in the cap, that 10th win on the season. And so I do think they get things done in the Cheez-It Bowl, and it's a good win for Florida State, you know, if they can get it. Now, again, I'm not going to hand Florida State anything before they win the game, because the game still has to be played. And I think a lot of people, again, they just think Florida State's going to be able to roll the helmet out there and win. And I hope that is the case, you know, but they still have to play this game. And, you know, Brent Venables does have a good history against this offense, against Florida State. But, you know, there's a difference when you have a room full of NFL players, you know, and when you don't. So I think Florida State's going to be able to get some revenge on Oklahoma this time, get some revenge maybe on Venables, and get things done. So I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys are looking forward to it too. Unfortunately, it is the last game of the season. It's going to be the last time that we're going to see this team play, and some of the last time we're going to see these players in Garnet and Gold. So we just have to cherish it for what it is, because it's been a fun season. It's been really exciting to see Florida State turn the corner and get back to relevance. And, you know, just what a 10th win would mean, to just say that you had a 10-win season, you got to double-digit wins, and you won your bowl game. And so I think they really are going to be motivated. I think they're going to do whatever they have to win. You know, you don't have to save anything on film for down the road, because this is it. But I will say the one thing I think could affect this game a little bit as far as point total wise is, let's say hypothetically Florida State jumps out to a big lead. You know, say we're coming out of halftime as something like 24-7 or something like that, and maybe Florida State goes down and opens it up a little bit more. Knowing what you are trying to achieve in 2023, knowing all the players that you have coming back, knowing that while this 10th win is important, 2023 is more important, because Florida State is setting itself up to make a run for a conference title and a playoff appearance and potentially a national title with how they've done in the portal and the ready-made pieces that they have, that I could see Norvell being kind of smart and pulling some of the starters early, because you don't want to take that added risk if you don't have to. So that's the only thing I will say to keep in mind when you look at the point total, is you may see them get into the depth chart a little bit early just to protect the players, you know, because you know you have next season to look out for. So that is the last thing I do want to say on that. But overall, like I said, I think Florida State is going to come out motivated and as a team and want to get that win. So I think Florida State gets it done 45-20 over the Sooners of Oklahoma. And it's going to be a fun matchup. I'm excited for it. And so with that being said, guys, we will catch you on the other side. If I don't talk to you before then, have a happy new year. I know 2023 is going to be a big year for us here at Plant the Spear, a big year for the Noles. And I'm just excited to be a part of it. So as always, thank you for listening, and go Noles.